If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. We're going to talk a little bit about healing, not because we don't believe in healing, but because we do believe in healing. I mean, we just demonstrated, I heard some of those prayers people were praying, and they show the faith that we have in divine healing, God, to heal his people. And so I'm going to share a message on healing today, and I believe I'm loaded for bear. Do you know what that means? I mean, strong enough to knock a bear down. Tell you right now, yes, sir, buddy. That's right. I'm not talking about sincere milk of the word here. I'm talking about some strong meat type stuff. At least I hope it's that. I mean, it's been that way for me. Now, maybe you guys are so much far beyond me that it'll just be ho-hum stuff. Like, I tell Jenny some stuff sometime I'm really excited about. You know, this Lord showed me that. And then she'll say, well, you know, I've been walking in that for years. I mean, it's... Okay, well, I guess pride goeth before a fall or something like that. Anyway, but you know, I understand there are opposing viewpoints on the subject of divine healing, and the world is full of opposing viewpoints on that subject. And so, you know, I'm not here to debate the different views. People believe different things, and I do know they exist. So hopefully I can share some things we haven't heard before, something new. And it may be different from your viewpoint, but listen anyway. The Bible says, how shall they believe that which they haven't heard? How shall they believe that which they haven't heard? It's in Romans chapter 10. And the answer is none. There's no way. There's no way you can believe something you haven't heard. So let's listen. And if there's something new, then that's fine. To change what we think about divine healing, and there is a need for some changing of some areas, and I'll explain that here, because we need to hear some things we haven't heard before. Jesus taught a message we remember. It's called the parable of the sower. You remember that, how the sower went forth and sowed seeds, and some fell here in stony ground, some fell by the wayside. And we know later from the translation of what that parable was talking about, he's talking about the human heart, sowing seeds of the word into the human heart. Well, everything we've got in us, in our heart of hearts, in our most deepest, what's the word I'm looking for, our belief system, everything we have in our belief system has come to us through the sowing of seeds. And so, you know, if you look back over your life, even from the time you were just very, very, very little, your parents were sowing seeds into you, seeds of thinking. You were learning. And, you know, we learn our parents sowed, our social life, our family life sowed seeds into us, our life experience sowed seeds into us, the things we went through, our experiences. The political system has sown seeds into us. The entertainment industry has sown seeds into us. The fads of the time have sown seeds into us. Peer pressure has sown seeds into us. And last but not least, religion has sown seeds into us. And you know, this process has been going on ever how many years you've been alive. That's how long that process has been going on. The sowing and reaping, the sowing of thoughts and ideas into your brain which become a part of your heart belief system. And so, the question is it too far-fetched to believe that some of the stuff in our belief system, even now, may not be aligned with the truth of God? Is it possible? Of course it is. A lot of what we believe came through our education. But you know, in a civilized society, you know, we all went to school 12, 14, 16 years, whatever we went to school, and we received every year new information. But in a civilized society like America, a civilized society, intellect and rational thought rule supreme. And according to rational thought, if you cannot study something under a microscope, it doesn't exist. That's the way rational thinking works. One of the great presumptions or presuppositions of higher education in our land today, or academia, we'll say academia, higher education, is that miracles cannot happen because they violate natural law. That's one of the presuppositions. You start off believing that. And since miracles cannot happen, the conclusion is that they don't happen, ever. The smartest people in the world will tell you that miracles never happen. because it would violate natural law, and so there's just no possibility that it could ever happen. Well, I saw a miracle. Well, there's got to be a rational explanation. It couldn't be a miracle because miracles cannot happen. So, the smartest and most educated people in the world don't believe in God, much less that he would heal somebody. So, in our so-called civilized society, there is a clash between higher education and faith in God. If you're standing in faith in God, you're swimming upstream. That's a quiet message, I understand, but I think the wheels are turning, so I'm not going to worry about that, and I'll be concerned about it. People who have little or no faith are the ones who guide and control our educational system. To believe something other than the secular wisdom of this world is to defy the beliefs of the most educated people on the planet. Did you know that? You're standing against the beliefs of the most educated people on the planet. And they will not hesitate to make you look like an uneducated fool if they get a chance. I mean, if somebody comes forth, I heard that, you know, talking to God is one thing, but when somebody tells me God talks to them, that scares me. It scares you? Somebody tells me they don't hear from God. That's what scares me. I don't want to be around there. You know, but anyway, they make you look foolish. So, can you see why it might be difficult to believe actually for divine healing in America? Can you see that there might be strongholds built into our thinking and we're not even aware of it? We must recognize that the things we believe at the heart level, and that's where it counts, in our heart of hearts, came to us through this natural process of sowing and sowing of ideas and sowing of thoughts. So to change what we believe at the heart level requires sowing some new seeds. It's called the renewal of the mind, the renewing of the mind. It's a process. And it's really the natural, or maybe supernatural would be the better word. It's the process of Christian growth. It's called renewing of the mind. You hear a new idea. You hear something you haven't heard before. You haven't thought of it quite in that way before. And you chew on it and think about it and ponder it and let it get into your spirit. The Bible says that faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So we've got to hear something different if we're going to believe something. We're going to have faith for something else. And I'm not putting anybody down. This church has got a lot of faith for healing. We pray all the time. Amen? And so we see God move in that area. But I want to see more, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, look at some of the stuff John Peterson's seen down in South America. I mean, just to hear him describe it, it blows your mind. What God is doing in other places, why isn't he doing it here? He's the same God, right? If he's the same God, then why isn't he doing things the way he does there? Well, I personally believe it's the stronghold of societal belief. In these places, they don't have those strongholds of, well, God can't heal. They believe in the supernatural. They don't have to fight, you know, the world of academic thought to get there. So, to be changed in our belief system, to be transformed by the renewing of the mind is to take more than, it's going to take more than just listening to a message or two. It's going to take more than that, but you got to start somewhere. That's where it begins. So, we're going to talk a little bit about the subject of healing. I started studying it a couple of months ago and, you know, getting some stuff from here and listening to somebody there and getting some new ideas about it. And so I got kind of what they were saying, but then the Lord took me off onto some side trails that I'm really excited about. And I'll share some of those with you. So then, I don't know it all, do you?
No.
Okay, as long as we know we don't know it all, we're all in good shape, okay? Because if you think you know it all, you're not going to grow. You stop growing and don't even know it if you already think you know it. So... So could we just pray for a minute? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of divine healing, God. We thank you for the truth of it, Father. We thank you that it is a truth of your word. And Father, we ask you to open our hearts, Lord. We ask you to open our minds. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes to see new things, God, and open our hearts to understand. We ask, Father, that a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the truth would rest upon us right now, Lord, that this would be a time of revelation Even stuff I didn't know I was going to talk about, Lord's going to be revealed. And Father, we thank you for revealing more to us about divine healing. Father, we want to walk more in it. We ask you to increase our faith for it. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we're going to hear more. We make a decision today to hear more about it. We don't know it all, Lord. We know very little. We've scratched the surface. We thank you, Father. There is more. We ask you to open our hearts to understand today. Let your anointing rest upon us right now to reveal truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. You're dismissed. No, I'm just joking. All right. Hallelujah. The Lord who heals you. Exodus 15:26. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now we know that these Hebrew words translated as the Lord that healeth thee are the Hebrew words Jehovah Rapha or Adonai Rapha, if you want to kind of be more of a transliteration of it. Jehovah Rapha. And that's translated as the Lord who heals thee. It means I am the Lord, the eternal one who always was and always will be, and I heal you. I mend you. I fix you. I am your physician. Amen. And that was a revelation to Moses. And so God had never said that before, but he revealed it to Moses. And this is what's referred to as one of the seven redemptive names of God, or the seven characteristics. See, God says, I am this, and then we said, well, that's his name. Well, yeah, it is his name, but he was just trying to reveal how I am. This is one of my attributes. I am the Lord that heals you. And I said, oh, that's his name, Jehovah Rapha. Well, okay, it is. It is one of his names, a redemptive name, but there are others also. Jehovah Jireh, or Adonai Jireh. The Lord will provide. That's from experience in Abraham's life. So he's the Lord who provides for us. Is he our provider today? Yes. We know he is, right? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, or the Lord my victory. Do we have victory in Christ? Yes. Does he always cause us to triumph? That's what his word says, if we believe it. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Is he our peace today? Is he still our peace today? Did Jesus give us his peace? Is God the God of peace? I'm trying to get some affirmation here that who God is. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd. Is he still our shepherd today? Does he still lead us beside still waters? Does he still watch over us? Lead us out to pasture? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Is he still our righteousness? Praise God. We better hope he is. Amen. Do we have righteousness through his blood? Yes, we do. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Is he still present with us today? Does his presence show up when we worship? Will he ever leave us or forsake us? No, he's present. So we're pretty sure about all those things, right? Everybody's sure about those things? You feel confident that that's true? But is he still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us? Yes. Or is that a thing of the past, as some have suggested? There is much discussion and debate about this among the religious tribes and camps in the body of Christ. But let me ask a question. Does anybody have the right to take any of these seven redemptive names and say I am and change it to I was? Would anybody have that right?
That's right. That's good preaching.
Who has the right to do that? I wouldn't want to be guilty of it, would you?
Exactly.
Would you want to take a name of God and change it?
Right.
You know, I don't stand close to you in case the lightning comes down. Don't be too close. But people have done that. If he is still all those other names, our righteousness, our peace, our shepherd, and so forth, how could he not still be the Lord, our healer? I mean, if you say he's no longer our healer, couldn't you just as easily say he's no longer our righteousness? We're not saved anymore. We're not righteous because we're no longer the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's not our righteous. If you can say one, you can say the other. I mean, if healing passed away, maybe righteousness did too. I'm just throwing out some thoughts for you to think about, because you get a lot of this stuff. Healing stopped with the death of the first apostles. We know that to be true. How do you know it? Did God tell you that? We're going to talk more about that in a minute.
God never changes.
God never changes. He's unchangeable. He's always been. He always will be. He is right now the Lord who heals us, Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15:26, we just looked at, it was God himself who said, "I am your healer." It was not the words of a man. And the Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
Did God ever say, "I am no longer Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healed you"?
That's right.
I can't find it in the scripture. Maybe you can, but it's not in my Bible. I use King James most of the time, but maybe in some of the newer versions it's there. Probably. I'm joking. I'm not against new versions. Just some of them get way off. And anyhow, has God ever said, "I'm now the Lord who doesn't heal"? No, man said that. These names are eternal characteristics of God. For as far back as eternity goes, he was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. For as long as eternity will last, which is forever, he will be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. The idea that God stopped being the healer is a notion that men dreamed up. So whenever you hear somebody say that, healing, we know that healing stopped with the first apostles. See, that's built into our societal thinking. That's why I talk that all that stuff about society. Because most of the society around us has been fed these things and kind of subconsciously believes it. Well, Brother so-and-so said, you know, healing passed away. Well, anyway, these are eternal names of God. And this is one of the most powerful strongholds in the church today. And you know, you can trace it back for many centuries. It may go back further than Martin Luther, but I know that Martin Luther claimed that the healings and the miraculous things of the Catholic Church were of the devil. He was one. I mean, there may have been people before him that preached stuff like that. But he started the Protestant movement, but yet took this position that all of that stuff is demonic. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with that spiritual gift stuff. It's the devil. And that's been 500 and some years ago. So you can trace this stuff back for centuries. So you can imagine how long it's had time to ingrain itself in our society. Many have suffered as a result of it. Many, probably countless thousands of people who could have been healed, probably, possibly weren't. Because, see, you know, in Jesus' own hometown, it said he could there do no mighty works. It didn't say he wouldn't, because he didn't want to. It said he couldn't, and it said he marveled at their unbelief. All it takes to stop the move of God is unbelief. If you can build unbelief into a society, then you won't see much of God's moving. Because it takes faith. You have to believe it. So all the devil needs to do is build in unbelief in us. Even a little bit. A shadow of a doubt. And he can do a lot of stuff. So, you know, this thing has sown so much unbelief and doubt and confusion into God's people that miracles and healings have become almost non-existent in large parts of the church. But in other parts of the earth, there are great outpourings of revival. I say, you know, in South America is today one of the biggest moves of God's Spirit. Jenny saw a picture of the Chinese church on YouTube, a video of the Chinese church, underground church, worshiping. I mean, they were just, God would love. I mean, just the whole crowd. And said the people would come to preach. And they say, "Oh, preach to us, please. What do you want me to preach on?" Well, everything from Genesis to Revelation. Just preach. Oh, when can I stop? Don't stop. You just keep on going, keep on going. And see, that's a type of hunger. There are mighty outpourings of God's Spirit in other parts of the world. But here, we're not experiencing that, and I think we ought to be. Something's got to change. Okay, let's see. Where were we anyway? So if we're going to experience that in America, we're going to have to pull down and destroy some powerful strongholds that have been instilled into us and begin to believe that God is the healer. And I know we do believe that, but yet we come up short sometimes. Our faith just doesn't get us through. Vincent said today, these feelings came over him. He almost wanted to cry. You see, when we're presented with a sickness, a lot of times a sense of defeat will come over us. You know, some kind of a cold or a flu, or you really feel bad, you start feeling defeated. And especially if you can't seem to get any victory over it, and you can't get it quick, then you think, oh, there must be something wrong with me. Why is God doing this to me? Why, Lord? See, so there's a battle going on there. And so we have more difficulty with sickness than we ought to. Individuals, Christians, ought to be able to get their healing, even without having hands laid on them. The laying on of hands for healing is one method God uses to heal people, but I don't think that's his highest. In other words, if I can find somebody who's got enough faith to believe for me to be healed and get them to lay hands on me, why don't you get enough faith for yourself? Praise God. Do both. Because you can always get healed from the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that heals you in the first place. The laying on of hands, thank God. But they operate as the Spirit wills. The gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills. What if you got a man of God there, but he's just, the Lord hasn't quickened him to operate in that gift? Well, that's not fair. It's just the way it works. But the Word of God always works when you're believing it in your heart. Anyway, let's just take a quick look at Psalm 103. I want to show you something here. You know, remember Ruth Mangiacapri talked about us walking in divine health? For those who were at the conference, she said, we need to learn to walk in divine health because we're getting older and God's not finished with us. We cannot go the way of typical older people. Get weak and feeble. And I'm not knocking anybody for that, but that's just the way the world has taught us that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be walking in divine health. He says, with long life shall I satisfy them and show them my salvation. What's the scripture? He satisfies our mouths with good things so that what? Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. A lot of times we interpret that, who heals all our disease, or who forgives all our iniquities and used to heal all our diseases. That's kind of the way the religion has taught us to think of that. The Bible teaches that God has multiple benefits that we should remind ourselves of. Forget not all his benefits. Not just being forgiven. The psalmist, I think it's David, it's the Psalm of David, he gave a whole long list of things that are the benefits of God. And we have a better covenant with better promises. We at least have all those things. The first two he mentions are forgiveness and healing in the very same sentence. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. The same scripture that says he forgives all our iniquities says he heals all our diseases. Now, if you ask most Christians if they believe the Lord will forgive all our sins, what do you think they'll say? Yes, absolutely, sure will, no question about it, without hesitation. But if you ask them if he will heal all our diseases, they will hesitate a little bit about that one. Well, I'm just, now see, there's a shadow of a doubt there. I don't know, that's a little strong right there, what you're saying. Heal all our diseases. A few will say yes, a lot will say no, and others will just say maybe, or I don't know. Amen. You see, we're strongly indoctrinated to believe that he forgives all our iniquities. We're strongly indoctrinated for that. Yep. And it's interesting. I'm just going to go on a little side trail here. Church, the religion believes today that the Lord can heal. But this, I mean, that he can forgive, but this healing stuff, well, we think that passed away. There was a story in, I think it was Mark chapter 5, where Jesus was having a meeting and they brought this paralyzed guy and he couldn't get in, so they took him to the top of the house, broke the roof open, let him down in front of Jesus. And as he was coming down, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Oh, and it, you know, it rocked the place. Those, all those theologians that were there, they were from every quarter, every part of the country. It was a theologian meeting, really, more than anything. Yeah, they was trying to trip him up. But say, who is this? Who is this who speaks blasphemies? God only. Only God can forgive sins. It's interesting. See, they believed he could do some healing, but they wouldn't believe the stuff about him forgiving sins. See, the whole thing's turned around now. We believe he'll forgive, but that healing stuff, I don't know about that. Who can heal people? But anyway, that's just an interesting thought about that. They were there, and they're strong religious people who knew how it's supposed to be. Yes, he can heal, but that forgiveness stuff, only God can do that. Anyway, so we're strongly indoctrinated to believe he forgives all our iniquities, but we're also strongly indoctrinated not to believe that he heals all our diseases. Many believe that God can heal, and maybe he does heal occasionally in rare instances if it's his will and if the sickness is not too severe for him to handle. That's a joke, by the way. Okay, no laughter. All right. Laughing inside. If the sickness is not too hard for him to handle, he might heal. He might take pity on you if you beg him enough now. If you beg him enough, you might twist his arm enough to get him to heal you if it's not too severe. I mean, this is kind of the way people think sometimes. But if God is still indeed Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us, the Lord who wants to heal us in every single time, and I believe he is, then how do we get to the place that we believe that wholeheartedly without any reservation when we're facing something? It's the renewing of the mind. We've got to get some more information in us. And we do it until we believe something differently at the heart level. I know this is the truth, because if you stop feeding and hearing new stuff and getting new seeds, you just kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, dry up. You think you're doing good. You think you know it, but you're not really. You haven't got the word alive in you. You've got some word that you know from years ago, but it's not alive in you right now. And that's important. The same work of Calvary that purchased our forgiveness is the same work of Calvary that purchased our healing. Yvonne was praying that this morning, bringing it out. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes you were healed. We are well practiced in believing God to forgive our sins, but we often fall short in believing God to heal our sicknesses. We can change that by hearing more of the truth of God's word about the subject. That's how we change the belief system in us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I scribbled down a note here this morning about something I wanted to show you. Just came to me, and I put a post-it note here. It says James 5:14. Let's see, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation, James 4, James 5, James 14. I just want to show you something I tripped over the other day. I stumbled across this, and I said, what? Because it confirms what I'm saying here. In 5:14 of the book of James, the letter of James, he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and who forgiveth all. All right, I didn't give Jan this scripture. Sorry, Jan, I just threw this one in unexpectedly. So just listen to it, folks. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's a suggestion here that there may be a sin problem causing sickness. And then you get into all sorts of debates. Are you suggesting I've sinned? Are you suggesting you haven't? Praise God. No, but see, sickness, sin is the source, the beginning and the origin of sickness. It was Adam's sin. So even if we haven't sinned, little babies don't sin, but sometimes they get sick. So it's the sin that's in the earth that is the source of it. But that's not what I was trying to point out. What I was trying to point out was this right here. In verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He used the word save right there. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I looked the word up. You know me. It's the word sozo, the same word that says you'll be saved.